You ever wonder what life must have been like for Joseph? We hear a lot about Mary, and we should. You look at the manger scene, there's always baby Jesus, Mary, Joseph, shepherds, usually some critters there. Most of our manger scenes have the wise men coming in, even though we know they weren't really there that same night. The whole crowd is there. But you know, when you look at the song, "What Child Is This?" If you look at the words of that song, you'll find Mary, you find the shepherds, the angels, you find the animals. You don't find the wise men directly, but there is a reference to bringing gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So we find the wise men represented. But you know, through the whole song, there's no mention of Joseph. And so I started thinking about Christmas carols, and I realized I couldn't think of any Christmas carols that talked about Joseph. Then last night, I did remember, I came across one that I should have thought of. In "Angels We Have Heard on High," there is a line that says, "See him in a manger laid, Jesus, Lord of heaven and earth. Mary, Joseph, lend your aid. With us sing our Savior's birth, Gloria." As far as I can think, that's the only reference in all of our regular Christmas carols to Joseph. He kind of gets left out, I guess. And I understand why. Mary was Jesus' mother. Joseph was Mary's husband. But God was Jesus' father. So I wondered, what more can we find out about Joseph if the carols kind of leave him out? What does the Bible actually say about him? And you know, I was very interested to find that nowhere in the Bible do we have any quotes from Joseph. Nobody ever wrote down one thing that Joseph ever said. Matter of fact, the Gospel of Mark doesn't even refer to Joseph at all from beginning to end of the whole Gospel of Mark. So because of that, we don't know a whole lot about Joseph. But if we look carefully through Scripture, there are some things that we do know. For example, we know that he was a descendant of David. If you look at David's family line, you can see that Joseph was a descendant of David. We know that he was righteous. Now, by that, I mean not only that he was a good guy, but we know that he kept the Jewish laws and the festivals. We know that because of the different times that he was journeying to Passover or he had Jesus in the temple. So we know he was a righteous man. We know he was obedient to God because Joseph finds out that Mary's got a kid on the way. And Joseph knows it's not his. Now, if any one of us were in that position, we would quickly sort through our options. For many of us, that list of options would be a very short list. Joseph did that. He went through his options. This is not my kid. We are betrothed, which in that day, when Mary and Joseph were betrothed, it really meant that they were married. They just hadn't moved in together yet. The marriage was a process. There wasn't a 30-minute ceremony and then a 30-hour reception like we usually do. There was days of the process. And to be betrothed was more than being engaged. Matter of fact, to break a relationship in which the two were betrothed it required a divorce. So they were married, they just hadn't gone to that last step of the process in which they move in and live together. And so they're in that relationship and she's pregnant. So he goes through a list in his mind, and what he decides is, instead of enforcing the Jewish law, which would have been devastating for her to say the least, instead of setting her up for public ridicule, which would have been the accepted thing to do, he decides, I'll just divorce her real quietly. We'll just separate, won't say anything. I'm not going to put it all over Facebook. We're just going to separate quietly, keep it calm for her sake. That tells me that he loved Mary and he didn't want to see her hurt. He was obedient to God in that while he was going through this process, an angel showed up in a dream. And the angel said, Mary is pregnant because God is creating a miracle in her. So you go ahead and marry her. And by the way, take the kid as your own. And Joseph obeyed. So we know that he was a descendant of David. He was a righteous man. He was obedient to God. He loved Mary. We know that he was a carpenter from Nazareth. We know that he was not wealthy, but he was faithful. The angel tells Joseph later, after Jesus has been born, the angel comes back to Joseph again. He tells Joseph to take Jesus to Egypt because Herod's trying to kill all the babies. And then when it's safe, the angel appears again and says, okay, now you can go back. And sure enough, they come back and they settle in Nazareth. After they settle in Nazareth again, we don't hear anything about Joseph or Mary for that matter, or Jesus for that matter, until Jesus is 12 years old. So we know when he's born, they take a quick jaunt to Egypt, they go to Nazareth, then we don't hear anything about the family for a few years. Jesus now is 12 years old. Jesus is taken to the temple with his family. They're there for the appropriate time for them to travel there for the religious ceremonies and services. Then we never hear about Joseph again. When Jesus is 30, we hear about Jesus, we hear about Mary. And she is an integral part of his life throughout the Gospels from that point on. But from 12 to 30, we don't hear anything. And after 12, we never hear about Joseph again. So most of us believe that Joseph died when Jesus was in his teenage years. Most of us believe that Jesus grew up the last part of his life without an earthly father. There's one more important thing that we know that although Joseph was not Jesus' biological father, he was his legal father. Joseph adopted Jesus as his own. We say, what child is this? That's the series, the question we've been asking all of Advent season. What child is this? He is a child adopted by a father who loved him. How do we know Jesus was adopted by Joseph? Well, there are clues throughout different places in the Bible that where the places mention Joseph, there are some clues about that. And let me just show you a few as we start in Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1 tells the Christmas story from Matthew's perspective. If we begin in verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, and not wanting to disgrace her, desired to put her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. Joseph arose from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took her as his wife and kept her a virgin until she gave birth to the son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, you and I probably ran through that. So it's somewhat familiar to us. We kind of run through that and we know angel said call him Jesus. They called him Jesus. That's good. What we may not catch on to is the fact that in their culture, in their day, it was the father who named the child. The father named the child. So when the angel says, Joseph, you give him a name, the angel is saying, you acknowledge that you are his father. You adopt him. And in verse 21, the angel says, you call him Jesus. And in verse 25, it says that Joseph took them as his own and that Joseph called his name Jesus. By giving him a name, Joseph accepted responsibility as his father. So Joseph adopted Jesus in a very real and meaningful and full way. In Luke chapter 2, we get a sense of that adoption. You see, when they saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, Son, why have you treated us this way? You know the story here? This is the temple. Why have you treated us this way? Jesus gets separated from the family. They're going crazy. They're looking for, where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? Jesus just hanging out with the teachers. Jesus is teaching the teachers in the temple. Family's freaking out. Jesus is doing his thing. Matter of fact, later on he said, why didn't you know I would be doing my father's business? You ought to know I'm in the church. I'm going to be doing church. But she says, why have you treated us this way? Look what she says. Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you. She didn't refer to him as Joseph, but your father. Later on, when Jesus has begun his ministry, Philip is introduced to Jesus, and he can't wait to go and introduce Jesus to Nathanael. He can't wait to tell Nathanael the good news that the Messiah has come. And so he says in John chapter 1, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. So by the time Jesus is early 30s, the adults in his life, the people recognize that he's Joseph's boy. Joseph has fully adopted him, and he grew up in that sense. One time the Jews got mad at Jesus, and they said in John 6, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I have come down from heaven? They were even saying, we know he's only Joseph's boy. Who does he think he is? He's the boy of the carpenter that we all know. Now, I spend so much time stressing that for this reason. Each Sunday through Advent, we've looked at a different person in the story. And as we look at those persons, we've noticed that Jesus had something very powerful in common with each one of them. He had something in common with the shepherds because he was himself the good shepherd. He had something in common with the wise men because he himself traveled a long distance to bring to us a gift. His gift is life. We recognize that he had something in common with Mary as they were both servants. And now we recognize that this child has something in common with his adopted father. Jesus, who was adopted, is now in the adoption process. He adopts us into his family. He experienced it for himself, and now he makes it available to us. You see, in Galatians chapter 4, "But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law." Usually, when I look at that verse at Christmas, my brain kind of stops there, because it just already talked about Christmas. When the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem us. That's a great Christmas story. But don't fail to recognize the rest of the verse. That we might receive the adoption as sons. Joseph adopted Jesus. Now Jesus prepares a way, is the way, makes it possible for us to receive adoption ourselves. Now we can be adopted into God's family. Paul goes on in this great chapter of Galatians. He goes on the next two verses. "Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father." Now that we know Jesus, the one who makes adoption possible, now we can, as children, say, Daddy. That's Abba. We can call God Father because Jesus has made adoption into the family possible. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. One of the great preachers of our time was Dr. Fred Craddock. Craddock tells a story about vacationing with his wife one summer in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. He said one night they found a quiet little restaurant where they looked forward to a private meal. And while they were waiting for their food, they noticed a distinguished-looking, white-haired man who was moving from table to table, visiting with guests and talking with everyone in the room. Craddock leaned over to his wife and whispered, "I hope he doesn't come over here." He didn't want anyone intruding on their privacy. But sure enough, the man came over to their table. "Where are you folks from?" he asked in a friendly voice. "Oklahoma," Craddock answered. "Splendid state, I hear. Although I've never been there," the stranger said. "What do you do for a living?" Craddock said, "I teach homiletics at the Graduate Seminary of Phillips University." "Oh," the guy said, "so you teach preachers how to preach, do you? Well, I've got a story to tell you." And with that, the gentleman pulled up a chair and sat down at the table with Craddock and his wife. Dr. Craddock said he groaned inwardly and thought to himself, "Oh no, here comes another preacher story. It seems like everybody has at least one." The man stuck out his hand. "I'm Ben Hooper," he said. "I was born not far from here, across the mountains. My mother wasn't married when I was born, so I had a pretty hard time. When I started school, my classmates had a name for me, and it wasn't a very nice name. I used to go off by myself at recess and lunchtime because the things they said to me cut so deep. What was worse was going to town on Saturday afternoons and feeling like every eye was burning a hole through me, wondering just who my father was. When I was about 12 years old, a new preacher came to our church. I would always go in late and slip out early. But one day the preacher said the benediction so fast I got caught and had to walk out with the crowd. I could feel every eye in the church on me. Just about the time I got to the door, I felt a big hand on my shoulder. I looked up and the preacher was looking right at me. "Who are you, son? Whose boy are you?" he asked. I felt this big weight coming down on me. It was like a big black cloud. Even the preacher was putting me down. But as he looked down at me, studying my face, he began to smile a big smile of recognition. "Wait a minute," he said. "I know who you are. I see the family resemblance now. You are a child of God." With that, he slapped me across the rump and said, "Boy, you've got a great inheritance. Go and claim it." The old man looked across the table at Fred Craddock and said, "Those were the most important words anybody ever said to me, and I've never forgotten them." With that, he smiled, shook hands with Craddock and his wife, moved on to another table to greet old friends. And as he walked away, Craddock remembered from his studies of Tennessee history that on two occasions the people of Tennessee had elected to the office of governor men who had been born out of wedlock. One of them was a man named Ben Hooper. If you have come to know Jesus Christ, if you have come to know the child born at Christmas, then, beloved, I can say to you this morning, you are a child of God. You've got a great inheritance. Go and claim it. Paul continues in his letters, and he unfolds this idea of adoption. We saw it in Galatians. Look at it in Romans. "For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, 'Abba,'" that's Daddy, "Father." The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs, also heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, so that we may also be glorified with Him. Look at that, joint heirs with Christ. Christ now, the Lord of all the lords, the King that kings call King, the one who is the great one, the one who speaks worlds into existence, now is not just our creator, now He's our big brother. We're joint heirs with Him. He's adopted us. When we have faith, when we trust Him, we're adopted into His family, and He is the firstborn of many. We become His younger siblings. We call that kind of adoption salvation. His name. Remember, the angel told Joseph, "You're going to call Him Jesus." Jesus is the Greek. I think what Joseph heard when the angel spoke to him was the angel said, "You'll call Him Yeshua," a form of Joshua, the Hebrew name. The name Jesus is Greek for the very same thing as Joshua, and Joshua means Yahweh saves. Jesus' name is God saves. And so when He is adopted by Joseph, He now adopts us into this salvation. Jesus is God saves. C.S. Lewis said it so beautifully, didn't he? "The Son of God became a man to enable men to become sons of God." You remember Ann Landers? People used to write her letters, put it in the paper, and she'd answer back with great wisdom, sometimes wit. One of the letters that Ann Landers received says this: "It happened again today. My two boys and I were in the shopping mall, and a total stranger felt the need to comment on the fact that my boys didn't look anything alike. Apparently, my 6-year-old decided it was time that he explained the difference. And so he spoke up and said, I'm adopted. That's why you had, that's when, let me start that again. He said, I'm adopted. That's when you have the same family, but not the same face. A child of God can say, I'm adopted. I'm in the same family as Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. We have the same Father. We call Him Abba. We call Him Daddy. The first Sunday of Advent, we recognized that Jesus was the Good Shepherd. And so He had that in common with the shepherds, and we put the shepherd's crook there to remind us of that. Second week of Advent, that's going to fall and hit somebody. The second week of Advent, we remembered the wise men brought a gift to Jesus, and Jesus brought a gift to us. It's called eternal life. Last week, we remembered that Mary was a servant of God, and she wrapped Jesus in swaddling clothes, and later on, Jesus, as the servant, wrapped Himself in a towel, and the towel probably looked a lot like the swaddling clothes. It was a servant, just like His mom. This morning, I want to place on the table the baptism robe. You say, well, what does baptism have to do with anything we're talking about? Well, in a way, it has everything to do with what we're talking about, because for the believer, the baptism robe is the certificate of adoption. The certificate of adoption lets the world know, I've been adopted, I'm part of the family. And when a believer is baptized, that is his or her way of saying to the world, I've been adopted, I'm part of the family. This morning, Christmas Eve, we ask ourselves that question which has rung in our ears all month. What child is this? He is the one called God Saves. And God Saves has come to be the way that even us rebellious, sinful, fallen people can be made right and can be adopted into the eternal family of God. Merry Christmas. Father, thank You so much for loving us in spite of ourselves. Your Word says that even though we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And so we're grateful that You loved us before we could earn it, before we could deserve it, before we could understand it. And in the fullness of time, Jesus came that we might be adopted into Your family. I can't understand any greater love. And so we just say thank You, Lord. Help us this morning to make sure that we have responded appropriately to the Christ child. Help us, Lord, to make sure that we've been adopted into Your family, and that if we have, that we're serving You. And if we haven't, Lord, help us to take care of that today in the powerful name of God Saves, we pray.